Coming up on Encouragement Live, Christmas brings tidings of comfort and joy. Dr. Mark Yarborough, president of Dallas Theological Seminary, is here to provide insight and encouragement for the season. Stay with us for Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wylie, Texas. Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight and hope for the season. And tonight I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Mark Yarborough back to the broadcast. Mark is the sixth president of Dallas Theological Seminary. He also teaches his Bible exposition. He's been in a variety of positions during his time at DTS, including Vice President of Academic Affairs. He's authored or co-authored multiple songs and albums, plays a key role in the story of Scripture. We'll talk about that. And among his books are How to Read the Bible Like a Seminary Professor, Jonah, Beyond the Tail of a Whale, and a Christmas devotional book we're going to talk about tonight titled Tidings of Comfort and Joy. Mark, what a joy to have you back.
It is always a treat to be with you, brother. Sincerely mean that.
And I do too, Mark. Thank you so much, my friend. And I have to just tell you, what an incredible 100th anniversary celebration for Dallas Seminary. A whole week, an incredible banquet at the main hotel in downtown Dallas, and just an incredible period of time.
It was fabulous, if I don't say so myself. Not because I was involved in it in any way, but because it was exalting the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And we were looking back over 100 years of the faithfulness of God. And that's what we've been celebrating all year, God's grace.
And to think about the grace of God, Lewis Berry Chafer wrote a book that I bought a copy of when I first entered seminary. And by the way, my graduation was 50 years ago, 1974.
Years. Yeah.
I know I'm way too young. I was the youngest graduate in the history of the seminary. And if you believe that, I have some underwater swampland in Western.
Well, you were four when you started classes.
Yes, I was four.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But just what a privilege and an opportunity. You're a graduate of Dallas, and we walk in the footsteps of some of the great giants of the faith, Dr. Walvoord, Dr. Campbell, Prof. Hendricks, and so many other, Dr. Pentecost, and just to think about the people who taught us, and we have the privilege now of passing it on as well.
I tell you what, that's the perspective that we're all in, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
we receive from others, and then we pass on what the Lord has
yes.
given us, and His Word continues to move forward, and aren't we thankful for that?
Yes, and you continue to do the story of Scripture, and you were just back from Annapolis, Maryland. Tell us about that.
Oh, we had a fabulous time up there, a wonderful church that we participated with, and, you know, it's a, I hate even calling it a conference. It's a two-day experience of walking from Genesis to Revelation, and
sure.
there's music involved and a variety of things. It's just a great time yeah. to tell the greatest story ever told.
One of my people that I talked with while I was in India, and I just got back from 2 weeks
right.
in India, and one of the men there who was actually my driver for the first time I was there, six trip this time,
right.
and he told me, he said, I want to go to the States and go to a conference. And I told him, I said, I have just the conference for you. So I reached out to Michelle, your assistant,
yes.
and we're going to get him lined up to go there. And
oh, he praise the Lord.
Dear brother. And thank you for all of you who prayed for me on this trip. We had a great time. Had 2,000 people show up for the leadership conference from all over India and surrounding countries. And God just did a great work. And a chance to teach discipleship as well, which is kind of my area, or one of my areas.
Sure.
And just grateful for the people who prayed. And I'm a little rusty getting back into this. For 3 weeks we've been on pre-recorded, but it's great. Now, tonight we're going to talk about Christmas. Maybe you tell us what you love about Christmas, maybe what you're concerned about with Christmas. Mark and I would love to pray with you, to talk with you, and encourage you. And we're going to get into this book, Tidings of Comfort and Joy. You can order a copy of this book by Dr. Mark Yarborough on Amazon, so check that out. We'll be right back after these important words.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarborough on the seminary's motto, Teach Truth, Love Well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu. Crossflix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based shows for the entire family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses, such as Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to a community and join others on their spiritual journey.
Crossflix partners with the SEAL Future Foundation and Bless IL to support American and Israeli veterans and families suffering from trauma.
Crossflix, educate, entertain, and inspire.
Good to be with you tonight on Encouragement Live. I'm Don Hawkins, and yes, tonight we are live. We've been pre-recorded for a few weeks while I was in India, and thank you for your prayers. Dr. Mark Yarborough has been a number of countries, a number of states, and all over the country talking about the 100th anniversary of Dallas Theological Seminary. And if you have questions about the seminary, if you would like to think about enrolling there, and I cannot think of a better place to be equipped to serve Jesus Christ, either in a lay capacity, or if you're called into a pastoral ministry, a teaching ministry, a counseling ministry, dts.edu. Again, that's dts.edu. Mark, we're moving into what is called the most wonderful time of the year. You remember that music, and we could also call this the most busy time of the year, I think. And so it can become a little stressful. What can we do to avoid becoming overstressed during this time?
Well, I think that we certainly need to protect our schedules and our health and all of that normal thing that we would do. But I think it's important, you know, during this busy time, that in the midst of the busyness, that we keep our singular focus on why it is that we're celebrating. I think when we do that, there is a spiritual center to the celebratory moment that we have. And I think that kind of grounds us. It brings a somberness of what we are remembering as believers, that the Word became flesh, that God Himself stepped into our mess.
And we would not have salvation. We would not have eternal life had that not happened.
I'm telling you, that's about as clear as you get. So when we celebrate Christmas, what we're doing is we're remembering that, I always say it this way in almost a common vernacular here of just saying that God stepped into our mess in order to pull us out, in order to open up the heavens, to provide salvation through this babe in a manger that would eventually go to the cross.
Paul put it this way to Timothy, writing to him, great is the mystery of God. Godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. And I love that statement that he made, that God became flesh, said the same thing in Philippians chapter 2, and also that we could place our trust in him and come to experience eternal life.
That's exactly right. And that's what we get to celebrate at Christmas. It's not about presents, as fun as that may be. It's wonderful to have Christmas lights and candy canes and all those kinds of good things. Yeah. But really, for a believer, we celebrate the incarnation. That big fancy word that simply means that the Word, God Himself, took on flesh in order to be able to go to the cross and conquer sin, pay the price for sin, and conquer death.
And this is a time when we have the opportunity to share that good news message with family members, with friends. We had a big family get together here at the church this afternoon. We had about 40 of us here. My son-in-law's birthday.
Okay.
And it was great fun.
Sure.
Most of us believers. But, you know, whenever we have these family gatherings, sometimes there are people there who don't know Christ as Savior, and it's important that we take advantage of those opportunities.
Oh, it really is. Yeah, family gatherings are an incredible time to live out the gospel. You know, Hendricks used to say, right, put shoe leather on the gospel,
I love it.
Right?
Yes.
And to let it be seen. And so I think that it doesn't mean that we all have to turn into street preachers, right?
Right. Yeah.
But there's ways that we can love people well, and we can care for them, and that is showing the love of Jesus and what we're doing.
Sounds like teach truth, love well. I've heard that somewhere before. Call us and talk to us about Christmas. What's coming up? 855-586-5433. We'll be back. CrossFlix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
CrossFlix has partnered with the Seal Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join CrossFlix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
CrossFlix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare, because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. We're back on Encouragement Live with Dr. Mark Yarborough tonight about his book, Tidings of Comfort and Joy. If you're looking for something to share devotional thoughts with your family for the 25 days leading from the 1st of December right through Christmas Day, that book is exactly what you're looking for. Go to Amazon.com and check out a copy of it. We're going to talk about some of those as well. Mark, you were talking about having an event on campus today and having a number of nations represented. DTS is not just training people in North America.
Oh, it is not. Yeah, we had an event today that really was tied into our centennial. We called it the 100 Global Jubilee is what we called it.
Yeah.
And it did involve a lot of our international students, our international ministries that we have on campus. I tell people, we are a very tongue tribe people and nation campus.
Yes.
There are 37 first languages spoken on the Dallas Seminary campus. So it is people from all over the world. But we also invited a lot of churches on campus today that are very multi-ethnic.
International.
Yes,
multi-ethnic,
they are. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, it was fun. We were having a praise and worship time that was done in four languages at the same time.
I love it.
It was beautiful chaos.
We had similar things while I was in India, people translating.
Yes.
And I have a gifted translator she does a great job. And then a number of other people translating and listening, and sometimes in two or three different languages.
Yes.
And it is amazing. And to think we'll spend eternity with people and somehow we'll all understand each other then.
Won't it is. It's a little picture of heaven, isn't it?
It is. It really is. Talk to us about the common thread that ties Tidings of Comfort and Joy together. I'd read the book before, but as I looked at it in preparation for this time, I saw a little bit of the story of Scripture in it. Would that be accurate?
That's very accurate, because, you know, the whole Bible is pointing to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about Christmas and the celebration of Christmas, I really believe that every part of Scripture is moving ahead towards the culmination of the fulfillment of all of God's promises, which are rooted in who Jesus is. So this devotional is meant to guide us, and it really starts at the beginning. So the very first devotional, as an example, it starts in Genesis chapter 3, because I think in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there is something that is called the
Evangelium.
Yeah. That's right. And, you know, that's a big fancy word. It really means the first picture of the gospel.
Yes.
And it took their place there in the Garden of Eden. So after sin took place, God made that statement to the serpent, and God displayed his power and said, down on the ground. And he said, but someone is going to come. A man is going to come through the seed of woman, which is an interesting phrase. And this one, this man who's going to be an upright man is going to crush your head. So it's the picture of the gospel.
And I love the title of that first devotional, Serpent Stomper. And you have a little personal anecdote to go with that, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I worked on a ranch called the Double End Ranch in Central Texas. And, you know, the thought of every step was a snake. Well, one time I just stepped out of a truck, and long story short, I stepped right on a snake, and it was a diamondback rattlesnake. And I had no choice but to stomp it. And I literally detached the head of that snake off of its body.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I'd hurt my heel. I separated a tendon in my heel.
Yeah.
But I tell people all the time when I tell that story, I said, I'd do it again, because that was the price I was willing to inflict upon
myself.
Saved
your life, yes.
Yes, I was ready to inflict that pain upon myself
and
to get rid of the evil.
And a very accurate picture of what Genesis 3:15 says. He will crush the serpent's head, and the serpent will bruise his heel. That's what happened to you.
And a lot of times I think we think of that as this, Satan's going to get his licks in, you know?
Yeah.
And while that is true, Satan certainly does his... I think it's a real picture of the pain that the man is willing to bring upon himself. I think it really is a picture of Jesus willingly going to the cross.
And what a wonderful thought as we think about Christmas. And maybe tonight you have a question in your mind. Have I genuinely, personally trusted Christ as Savior? Mark and I would love to share with you how you can be absolutely sure of that. Give us a call at 855-586-LIFE. That's 855-586-5433. We so appreciate the team that we have working on the program tonight, Cora and Chris and Riley and Rodney and Danny and Keith and pray for Brad and Nikki and Kathy and some of the rest of the team who are out tonight, Brent. But we're grateful to be back with the team tonight and all of you who are regulars listening to our program. Mark, you talk about how much you love Christmas in the book Tidings of Comfort and Joy. So what do you like best about the season?
Well, I like family.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to that for me. I've grown up in an absolutely wonderful home. So I actually am incredibly blessed. I have very fond memories of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I think of, I've got a long list of individuals that have gone on to glory, spending Christmas with all of my grandparents and aunts and uncles. And so while there is a tinge of missing individuals that are no longer in the family circle, right?
Sure, yeah.
But they're home with the Lord, and because of that, I just look forward to a Christmas that I'll celebrate with them. I've got fond memories of family, and so lots of festivity around the Yarborough house. I mean, I got to admit, I am one of those individuals that, man, I can start singing Christmas songs around November 1, and I'm like, turn the lights on as soon as you can, and, you know, listen to a little Perry Como, and, you know, stuff like that. So I love the festivity of it, but ultimately, it drives me to... Why are we celebrating?
Yeah, and the music of the season, again, brings some of those messages home, some of those Christmas carols that talk about the first Noel and you know, what child is this?
Silent Night,
Bethlehem.
Oh, my goodness,
yes. And, you know, to think about the Savior loving us enough to step into history. You know, sometimes we don't think about the impact of that. Now, you were talking about Tidings of Comfort and Joy, starting with the Protevangelium, or whatever we'd like to call it there in Genesis 3:15. But you also touch on other Old Testament predictions that lead us up to the birth of Christ.
Oh, sure. I mean, for an example, when you start moving into the promise made to Abraham in Genesis 12:1 through 3, where God makes these incredible promises. And I love that last part of the promise. And through you, all peoples on earth will be blessed. He was talking about through the line of Abraham was going to come this Messiah. And so I look at a lot of those scriptures to remind us that God is always making these promises to bring about this Messiah, our Savior Jesus.
Yeah, and I think about some of the prophecies, for example, in Isaiah.
Oh,
Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7.
Oh, yes.
The virgin birth for unto us a child is born,
that's right.
to us a son is given in chapter 9, and really stating both the humanity and the deity of Jesus in that verse.
That's right. And all throughout the Old Testament, there are these pictures that it's going to be a conquering king, it's going to be one who reigns as God himself,
yes.
but it's also going to be someone that is human, that is frail, and that will eventually, speaking of Isaiah, be a suffering servant for his people.
All the way to chapter 53, was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that produced our peace was upon him.
Right.
With his stripes we are healed. And I love that next verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. Turned everyone to his own way.
Yep.
And the Lord
amen.
Laid on him the iniquity
of us all.
Yep. Tonight, friend, if you have not yet experienced that, Mark and I would love to talk with you about it. 855-586-5433. Now, I believe, Mark, you told me you had come to trust Christ fairly young. So you probably had some very Christian Christmases growing up.
I sure did. I had to this day. My mom and dad are still living, and so I'm very blessed to have them active in my life. They're my prayer warriors for me, for sure.
Yes.
But yeah, I saw the gospel lived out in my mom and dad, and I can remember as a child talking to my dad. My father was a bivocational pastor, and because of that, one Sunday he was preaching on the reality of hell, and I can remember thinking, I wanted nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
and I don't mind describing it the way, certainly as a 10-year-old boy, of realizing that I needed fire insurance, and fire insurance was provided for me, and his name was Jesus.
Right.
And if Jesus said I don't have to experience that he dealt with my sins once and for all, my simple theology was like, well, trust in Jesus, sign up with him. And that's exactly what it was. So I had some wonderful pictures in my life growing up and reading the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2 as a family and singing Christmas carols and going Christmas caroling to shut-ins, individuals that couldn't get out.
Yeah. We did some of that as well, and that was such fun. And then gathering around the piano, having a couple of three people who played the piano, and they would trade out, and we would all sing those carols, and then being involved in Christmas cantatas at church. A lot of fun in that. And Kathy and I had the privilege of singing in the Messiah, Handel's the Messiah, sometimes at Christmas, and that was, I'll tell you, just all scripture. People don't always think about Handel's music, but the words come right out of scripture.
They sure do. That is a majestic piece. Talk about a one that lifts your eyes upward to remember what the Lord did downward, right?
And it looks at not only the first coming, but the second coming, and ultimately, and he shall reign forever and ever. Yeah, and I'm preaching through Revelation right now, and I'm getting close to that passage.
Are you
the
really?
Kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Christmas season is upon us, friend, and I want to tell you, Mark Yarborough's put together an excellent resource, Tidings of Comfort and Joy. Read and marvel at the fact that God became one of us to reveal the Father to all of us. That's the blurb from Andy Stanley on the front cover. And 25 devotionals leading to Christmas. Chip Ingram wrote the foreword on here, but your content on these is just great. You also have an application and a prayer with each of the chapters.
Yeah, one of the things that I didn't want to just have a biblical thought, and as important as that is, to have a passage and to look towards Jesus. But I think that Christmas provides us an opportunity to do something. You know, you mentioned this a minute ago, when we have an opportunity to be with family and friends. But I think that, like, grandparents have an opportunity to start laying some traditions with their grandchildren. So I give a lot of suggestions about taking a Christmas light tour. How fun is that? I mean, everybody loves doing that.
Right.
But then to use that as an opportunity to talk about the fact that, you know, Jesus is the light of the world.
Right.
And he came into this darkness in order to open our eyes and to let us see the Father, right? And so I give a lot of applications, and then these prayers are very heartfelt. It's it's a prayer for those that might be reading, those that might even be listening right now. It's a prayer to say, hey, Lord, take us in these moments lights, these Christmas days that we have, and draw our attention to you. And may we do that so that we can help others draw their attention to our Savior.
And some of those prayers can really perhaps help people who don't familiarize themselves or express themselves in prayer in a frequent way. You can make those your own. Again, the title of the book is Tidings of Comfort and Joy. It is available online at Amazon.com. We'd encourage you to check. And by the way, check out the DTS.edu website to learn about all the resources and courses and everything available there. I'll be back with Dr. Mark Yarborough right after these important words.
Here's a conversation for stewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Dr. Frank Minerth was a pioneer in Christian counseling, and I had the privilege of working with him for several years.
Christian psychiatrist Dr. Tom Schoaf of the Hope Speaks Clinic in suburban Dallas.
I'm looking for Christian psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists who would be willing to join me in carrying on Dr. Minerth's legacy.
To learn about working with Dr. Schoaf and his team of Christian professionals at Hope Speaks Clinic, you may visit hopespeaks.com/opportunity.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at restorationsl.com. That's restorationsl.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minerth, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
And we would like to hear from you tonight. If you have a prayer request, a concern that we can pray about, or maybe the stresses of the season are already getting to you, give us a call at 855-586-5433. Mark, during the time I was in India, I learned about a major tragedy that took place last spring in the northeastern Indian state of Manipur. Some 300 Christians were martyred there. And I think we all have heard about the tragedy in southern Israel last October the 7th and the disaster. But very few people have heard about what happened there in India. I was shocked to discover Christians being put to death.
Yeah. You know, I tell you what, there are, you and I know this to be true, there are believers all over the world that suffer greatly, and physical persecution, and this is one that is just a horrific tragedy. But you know what, Don? Even as you say that, I rejoice in the fact that they are home with the Lord.
Yes.
To be
Amen.
Absent from yes. the body is to be at home with the Lord.
Yes.
And so these are dear brothers and sisters. And while it is a tragedy, and I can only imagine what their families and yes. are feeling, and I realize many of them were families, as
yes.
I've read on that horrific
right.
moment.
Yes.
But I tell you what, you know, the Lord seems to to at times move forward on the blood of the martyrs. And you and I have seen that throughout church history. And so we pray that that is going to propel a region towards sensitivity to the hope that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And there were a number of people, Mark, who were at this conference where I spoke, including Lashram Singh, who is the state leader for Mission India in Manipur. And I had a chance to talk with him. Here's what he shared about those events.
On May 3, conflict happened between Maitai community and Puki community in the conflict. About 300 people were killed, and about 250 churches have been burned down. About 60,000 homeless.
Now, who instigated this terrible attack that took place just a few months ago?
It began in the district of Churchampur. So Kuki community first burned down the houses of Maitis, and some were killed, and they were completely driven out from Kuki community in Churchampur.
These people had to flee into the wilderness. Is that what happened?
Yeah. They flee to the safe place, like in Imphal city, and they take refuges in the government houses.
So who are the people who attacked them? Was this a group of religious militants, or was this political, or what was the nature of it?
On Christianity, attacked by Hindu people. But in the beginning, Kuki militant, they attack on Maitai, and the Kuki militant destroy Hindu temple. So in the retaliation, they burned down the churches of Christian.
So in other words, they were blaming the Christians for something that these other people did to attack their religion.
Because the Kuki, they are Christians, so they destroyed a Hindu temple. Therefore, people, more violence, they destroy Maitai churches.
Now, how were these people killed? Were they shot? Were they killed by hand or knives or what?
They shoot by gun, and then they kill by just bullet gun.
Yeah. Now, did this include men, women, and children?
Yeah, this include small kids, old people, and then young people, everyone.
Were you and your wife and family close to this when it happened?
Yeah, we are very close to this conflict. By the grace of God, we are safe. And my principal of MI Mission India Bible College in Manipur, his house been burned down by the Kuki militant.
I trust that we'll want to remember to pray for Lashram and his people, Mark. What a sad situation for these people who are left. I understand some of them were injured as well. But I thought it would be helpful for our listening family to actually hear from somebody who was there and in the middle of that, just what that's like to see some of your own friends and colleagues give their lives for the cause of Christ.
I'm telling you, it just breaks your heart to hear that. And you know, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 certainly comes to mind. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And for those that are now home with the Lord, for those that have been left behind, oh, dear Lord, please be with that community of faith and strengthen them to be steadfast, as his word says.
Would you lead us in prayer for those people, the survivors, or the ones who lost loved ones, and just for the fortification of those Christians, many of whom may feel intimidated?
You betcha. Father, it's hard to know what to do and what to say and how to pray, even in a moment like this, when you hear of such tragedy. It reminds us of this broken world. But Lord, we think of those that have broken hearts and broken lives right now, for those that have been left behind, that those that are trying to pick up the pieces. And Lord, we are praying that, as your word says, that through this suffering, that they will be strong and steadfast because of the hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that is certainly true for every one of us. That is true for everyone that is listening listening to this program tonight, if there are those that are out there that are hurting and suffering, Lord, we pray that you would work through your spirit that indwells the life of a believer to give us courage, to give us strength, and to give us hope. And Lord, certainly that is what you have reminded us of, even as we move into this Christmas season, that we have hope because we have Jesus. And when we have Jesus, we have hope. And so may we dwell on that even in our great pain. And we pray that for these people in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. 855-586-5433. David is calling us tonight from Oklahoma. David, welcome to Encouragement Live. Go ahead.
Thank you, Brother Don and Brother Mark. I was just calling to ask for prayer for my wife and family and me. My wife of 43 years recently filed for divorce, and we're in the process of going through that difficult situation. Lots of hurt all around, and just praying honestly for restoration and reconciliation, and for hearts that need to be changed so that that reconciliation and restoration can occur.
David, I'm so glad you called us tonight about that, and we do want to lift that request in prayer. Mark, one thing we know from Scripture, God is not for divorce. He is for marriages.
Amen for that. And he longs to have husbands and wives reconciled even through the midst of that pain if we have soft hearts. Amen
and
for that.
And sometimes it takes time. And, you know, we live in a microwave society, and David, I sense that that there is patience in your heart as you shared this request. But I want to encourage you to allow the Word of God to fortify that patience. Mark, you quoted that scripture from Peter, that after we've suffered a while, and sometimes the while is not the short while, it's a longer while.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, I pray for David tonight. Just grant him the patient endurance that he needs during this time. And I pray that he would have a winsome spirit toward his wife. I pray that if there are areas where he is offended, that he would seek forgiveness. I pray that her heart would be turned toward forgiveness and love and reconciliation. Yeah. Lord, that 43 years, such a valuable commodity for a marriage, and undoubtedly children, grandchildren involved. So, Lord, make this a Christmas of reconciliation, I pray. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And Mark, any further word for David?
I echo everything that my brother has said. Be patient, guard your words, and have a soft heart before not just God, but before your spouse, before your wife.
A soft answer turns away wrath.
It sure does.
Grievous words stir up anger. God bless you, David. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, brothers.
God bless. 855-586-5433. We can pray with you, encourage you. We'd love to hear from you. Brandon is listening in Texas tonight over American Family Radio. Hello, Brandon. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Yes. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was calling. My daughter's been sick for the past week, and she's just had some horrible fits where she can't breathe for minutes at a time, and I've stuck out treatment, and we're treating it, and it scares me. I just need prayer for her.
Brandon, I'm so glad you called. I have had asthma since I was young, and there were times when I could not breathe, and Mark is signaling me that you've had the same thing.
When I was a little child, I was designated with that, and I can remember in the early years, it was scary.
In recent years, I've had a recurrence of asthma, and there are times that I will pray, God, give me one more breath, and I'll get that breath, and I'll pray for another one. And so, Brandon, Mark and I both can relate to what you're going through, but we have a God in heaven who can deliver the oxygen that we need. And Mark, would you lead us in prayer for Brandon's daughter and for can we have her first name, Brandon?
Her name's Brinley.
Brinley, okay.
Brinley, you bet. Dear Lord, we come to you on behalf of a father that is desperate. And we can hear his anxiety of wanting to protect and have his daughter healed. And so, Lord, right now we come to her and put Brinley in front of you. Lord, you know exactly what is going on in terms of her problems of breathing. And Lord, whether you choose to use medical means to heal her through doctors that I am sure that they are seeing, or whether, Lord, you choose to heal her completely, we pray for Brenly. We pray that she will be able to breathe even tonight as we are praying for her live at this very moment. Amen. Lord, that you would touch her and that you would just do something that only you can do. We've seen you do that. But Lord, if you choose to allow this to linger, give this family, this precious family, strength, encouragement, and hope. We're going to trust you, Lord, even in the midst of the problems and in the midst of the pain. But right now, our Father, we pray for healing, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So glad, Brandon, you called. We will continue praying and ask our listening family to pray.
Thank you. I'm a new listener, and y'all have been a blessing. I listen to nothing but your radio station.
The Lord. God bless. 855-586-5433. Can we pray with and for you?
We are at a time when our society is falling apart, and we must cling to the cross of Christ. The Witness webcast is a production of Crucible of Faith Ministries. And here, you will find sound teaching and expert commentary that will anchor you on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Visit us today at www.crucibleoffaith.ca and find the answers you will need for such a time as ours today. That's www.crucibleoffaith.ca.
What do Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer have in common? They all trained to preach God's Word at Dallas Theological Seminary, and you can train at DTS too. If you've been called to preach or teach God's Word, find a degree or course that's right for you on one of our campuses or online at dts.edu. Dallas Theological Seminary, where they teach truth and love well. Visit dts.edu.
Here's a conversation from HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I'm so frustrated with my retirement account. Every time the market drops, it seems to take a long time just to get back to where it was before the drop and to start growing again.
What if I told you that there's a way to save for retirement that doesn't risk any loss of your money in the market, and you can still earn good returns?
What do you mean by good returns?
Well, the plans that I work with have averaged 8 to 14% per year over the last 10 years. And since they're guaranteed never to lose their principal, no one ever has to waste time making up for losses.
I've heard those kinds of accounts have a lot of fees.
Actually, most of the accounts that I work with have no fees.
His Faithful Stewards offers a free short video series that helps you understand more of your options for your retirement savings, delivered to your email each week. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and sign up for the free video series. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com.
Years of Dallas Theological Seminary being continually celebrated, even as we speak. Tonight, Dr. Mark Yarborough is with me. Mark, you've probably had so many high points this year, it would be hard to isolate one of them, but I'm going to put you on the spot and see if you can pinpoint one.
Okay. It's one, but I've had thousands.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
It's one, but thousands.
Sure.
Here, I've been on the road. My wife and I have been on the road probably about 190 days this year.
Wow.
Okay, so we've been on the road, and we've had 35 gatherings around the United States. We've had 10 international trips where we've been just celebrating with our grads, our alumni. And I tell you what, I wish I'd have had a GoPro on, you know, and have 90 seconds with so many faithful alumni to shake their hands.
Yeah.
Here's what I was not prepared for.
Yep.
I was not prepared to hear a consistent proclamation of individuals telling the story of the grace of God in their lives. And if I could have just got, you know, 60 seconds, 90 seconds of their little testimonies.
Of each one,
it would have been this beautiful montage of God's people that just so happens have a connection to Dallas Seminary, and that's why I was seeing them. But they were talking about what God is doing in their lives, in their families, in their ministries. Oh, sure, there were stories of pain. But, you know, it's when that grace of God overcomes that pain, and even the pain makes the Lord leads us through that because he's always at work.
You know, and as I think about two of your predecessors at Dallas Seminary, the first president, Dr. Lewis Sperry Chafer, wrote the book on grace, titled Grace.
Yes. Yes.
And then Chuck Swindoll, the fourth president, Grace Awakening. Yeah. And to think about the fact that that's been such a common theme, and now you're carrying that forward, and to see you and Mark Bailey and Chuck Swindoll and, you know, so many other people who've been involved in the ministry of Dallas Seminary and touched lives of so many of us as alumni over the years. And to think about the fact that there are people listening to us tonight who very well next year could be a part of the family of Dallas Seminary and carry that grace message into the next decade.
Well, I tell you what, when we all get to look back at our lives and we see how God has moved and worked and acted, that leads us to just praise his name. And it really is. That's what we've done this year, but that's true of every individual as well. We should constantly, if we are grace recipients, which we all are in the Lord Jesus, we're called to be grace givers. We need to talk about what God has done.
Absolutely. If you'd like to find out more about Dallas Theological Seminary, dts.edu. And if you and your family would like to check out this book, Tidings of Comfort and Joy, these 25 great devotionals that lead up to Christmas, take some time every day. Read this to your family. There's time to order it from Amazon. I know because my son Brent orders from Amazon for me all the time. Things get there quickly. You can go there. Dr. Mark Yarborough, it's called Tidings of Comfort and Joy. By the way, maybe you're going through something right now that's a family conflict. Maybe there are members of your family who are not speaking to each other, and you're sort of dreading that Christmas get-together. And Mark, I've seen God answer prayer in some amazing ways when there's been conflict within a family where it looked like things would not come together, and God's brought them together. Maybe somebody listening might want to call and let you and me pray with them about that.
Amen. And I tell you what, you know, I would say to you, friend, that might be listening to this, if that's where you are, view this opportunity of the holidays as a means where God may actually use that to heal this rift between you and a family member. Yeah. Take that first step of love with a soft phone call and say, you know, I know we've had our differences, but I miss you. Yeah. And I would love to be able to see you, even if just for a short period of time. Don't thrust yourself upon them, but use this as an opportunity. You know, the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas has a tendency to get to our hearts. And
sure
rightfully so. We think of family, and so don't run from this. Use this as an opportunity. If you find yourself in an estranged relationship with a family member, especially right now, use this as an opportunity to step back into their life, to love them well, leave that old pain behind, but to tell them how much you love them. Life is too short to let these rifts last.
I was just thinking of that phrase, life is too short, and you articulated it so well, and I think, you know, for us to let things go, and sometimes we sit back, Mark, and we think, I sure wish they'd reach out to me, and maybe now's the time for you to take the initiative. Maybe they don't answer your call. Maybe you get voicemail. Leave them a message of love and compassion and ask them to call you back. Or if you can't do that, drop them a note, drop them an email, send them a text, do something to reach out to them.
You know, that is the Christmas story, isn't it?
I
mean, it
God
is.
God reached out to us.
God stepped in. I mean, he's the one that made the first move. God's always the one that makes the first move.
Yeah.
And because he's done that, I mean, that's really what scripture says, because, you know, we can love others because God first loved us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the teaching of Scripture. And so what we're doing when we do that with others, we're just doing what God has always modeled for us.
Yeah. My grandson Chris and I were talking about Hebrews 1 yesterday and how God, who in different times, in different ways, spoke through the prophets, has in these last times spoken to us by his Son, the one who ultimately will rule all things, who's greater than Moses, greater than angels, greater than the Old Testament, and he's the one who came as a babe in Bethlehem.
That is exactly right. And, you know, there's so many verses, right, that you and I could go back and forth on. And I mean, I was thinking of Galatians chapter 4, right? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, you know, and that's what we get to celebrate, that God knows what we need, but God also asks us to carry that out with others in our families and communities these holidays coming up.
You know, one of the things I was very grateful for while I was in India, I had the privilege of teaching teaching 25 students about discipleship. And I gave them a very simple way to explain the good news of the gospel. And I think this might be something that would be helpful here. I used four words, Mark: sins, penalty, paid, so trust. And with sin, Romans 3:23, we've all sinned. Romans 6:23, the penalty for sin is death. Romans 5:8, the God gives us eternal life through his Son. So the thing to do is trust in him. Here's the amazing thing. After several days of teaching them, I gave them a final exam. You always have to do that in the academic world. And that answer, those four words and the scriptures with them, popped up as the answer to about four or five questions on the final exam. They didn't all connect with the right question. Some of them did, but they got that message. And I thought, if I have taught these Indian students to clearly share the gospel with the people they come in contact with, and that's another privilege that we have at this season. We may have family members or friends who need to know the Lord, if we could just simply share the gospel with
them. And I tell you what, friends, we all know that famous verse, John 3:16,
yes,
"For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what?
Everlasting life.
Eternal. It's what is gifted us. I mean, that's that gift that is under the tree waiting to be unwrapped for those that do not know the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You may have an opportunity in these holidays coming up to be able to share that good news with those that do not know it.
And you could facilitate their opening, the greatest Christmas gift of all. Back to the phones, 855-586-LIFE. Liz is in Arkansas. Go ahead, Liz. You're on the air.
Yes, I was listening to your program, and when I hear so many people die over probably nothing, and because we cannot get a very simple Bible into every home around the world, because with a Bible is great, but many people can't venture through a big Bible. If it was like a child could understand it, something very simple in each of their houses where they can read it on their, you know, on their own, and come to the Lord. I just would love the whole world to know the Lord.
Well, Liz, you've expressed something that Mark and I feel very passionate about. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Mark, that's a big reason why Dallas Theological Seminary exists, to train people into how to proclaim or preach or herald the word of God.
It really is. And sister, we understand your frustration of wanting to get the word out. And that's what I'm hearing your heart of saying, to get the gospel in its simplicity, because it is simple. We all need a Savior, and that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was dead and buried and raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. And so that is our heartbeat as well. And so thank you for doing everything that you can do and praying for individuals that share the gospel, and for every one of us in our own worlds to be able to, in our own community, our own homes, our own families, to be able to get the gospel out in its simplicity to those that do not know the Lord.
And Mark, I was thankful to meet one of the representatives of Gideon's over in India, who is at this conference, and they are getting copies of the Gospel of John, which is probably the best evangelistic, written for that purpose, getting that in simple languages, not only Hindi, but in some of the tribal languages there as well, Malayalam and Marathi and some of those. And it's so great that people can get that in their heart language.
And praise the Lord for those that are involved in Bible translations. I'm involved with what's called Illuminations, which is a big push to getting the Bible translated into all the roughly speaking, 3,700 languages in the world that we're aware of that still need, many of them still need the gospel. And for tools that can be used, even for children, as our sister has said, to be able to get this gospel, because it's for all people.
Lead us in prayer briefly, if you will, for that and for Liz.
Dear Lord, thank you for our sister Liz and for her heartbeat for wanting to get your gospel out. I thank you for that. May we all have that. And Lord, we want to be able to pray for those ministries that are involved in training and equipping others and getting your word out. Help us all to do that in our own individual lives every day. Thank you for the gospel that has saved us from hell, that we have been gifted life eternal. And so we pray for Liz and for all those like her and for us as well, as we desire to get your word to others.